From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, a call for protecting women's sports and the slide of Chick-fil-A into a woke culture. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. In recent weeks, the issue of men pretending to be women and competing in women's sports has come to the forefront in the news and now in politics. There's a strong push for federal legislation to address the issue, and joining Tony Perkins to talk about what can be done is Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville.
Coach, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Now, you said the Biden administration's support for males competing in women's sports takes a sledgehammer to Title IX. Explain that.
Well, it's not giving girls the opportunity to succeed. You know, Tony, when I coached, I told every one of my players that I work with that, you know, you live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. But this country doesn't give you work ethic. It doesn't give you the time. To be on time. It doesn't teach you those discipline things. You have to learn it yourself. But the one thing it does give you, this country gives you the opportunity to fail or succeed. Now, that being said, that's not true. Now, I couldn't tell that to a girl athlete because this country is not going to give you an opportunity to succeed because it's unfair that these young biological boys are having an opportunity to compete against girls. And so, that's where we're at. The animals are running the zoo up here, Tony. It's just absolutely amazing to me that we're even talking about this. It is over the top. And the Democrats, all of them, not just a few of them, all of them are fighting for biological boys to have the opportunity to compete anywhere they want. They're trying to do away with gender up here, and we're not going to allow it.
Now, Coach, a lot of people don't realize this, but you coached high school girls basketball, so you know about the opportunity that you just spoke of. And Title IX was put in place so that girls would have that opportunity to compete on a fair playing field. This, what we see happening right now, is eradicating that opportunity.
Well, you're exactly right. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to start seeing these young biological boys or men start competing against women's sports. They're saying to us now, well, there's only a few. Well, you allow this to happen, you're going to see more and more every year, and you're not going to have women's sports because what's going to happen, parents are not going to let their young daughter getting into a sport, whether it's in elementary school or junior high or high school, to compete against boys, dress in the same locker rooms, take showers with them. It's not going to happen. So what's going to happen is you're going to see a deterioration of women's sports. Now, it might not be overnight, but it's going to be a slow deterioration, and you're going to lose it, and Title IX is going to be destroyed. And it's going to be a biological boy that's transitioned to a girl, supposedly, that's going to take over their sports.
So when is Chuck Schumer going to schedule a vote on your bill?
Yeah, Chuck Schumer, he didn't know what day it is. Every day he attacks me because I've got some other things going, you know, the holes on the military and all those because of the abortion. But that being said, you know, I just heard him say, you know, these wildfires in Canada, you know, it's a direct cause by climate change. They need to get them a Smokey the Bear in Canada, you know, and work on cleaning up their trash in terms of underneath their trees. They claim everything is because of climate change. Because why? Because they take money and they can spend it. And that's exactly what they like to do up here. They love to spend the taxpayers' money and waste it.
The good news here, Coach, is that as you are holding the line on this and raising the profile of this issue, states are not standing still. We have almost two dozen states that have passed bills like this protecting women's sports. So in many ways, while we'd like to see this pass nationally, this is encouraging states to act, and people watching this program, listening to this program, certainly call their senators and encourage them to support this bill, but also their local legislators as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Tony. And we've got to get the federal government out of everybody's business. So don't count on Washington, D.C. and the federal government to help you in making the decision. If you give them the chance, they will make a decision for you, and it's not going to be what you like. The states need to get involved, the counties, the cities. They need to get involved in this and make sure they make the decision and keep the federal government out. We don't do anything up here but screw stuff up.
Yeah.
Now, we can waste some money and we can make bad bills and, you know, we can cause all the crime to be happening because that's what's happening. We defunded the police in a lot of these cities. The border's wide open. We have drugs everywhere. We have the biggest crisis, I think, that we have in this country right now is mental illness. And it's really not a crisis. It's an emergency. And we're not even talking about it. It's really criminal what goes on up here. But, we're going to fight, Tony. We're going to fight to the end. We're going to give these young girls and women the opportunity to compete on a fair and level playing field. And we're going to fight this climate hoax. And we're going to fight all the crime in the city. And we're going to fight at the border. And we're going to fight for our education system and to get God back in our schools. Because we don't, Tony, it's going to be tough, tough to survive.
You're absolutely right, Coach. And I want to thank you for that fight. I want to also applaud your stand against the Biden administration's military abortion policy. You're taking a lot of heat, even from your own party. We commend you, grateful for it, and we stand with you. Coach, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Tony. Good talking to you.
All right. Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama. All right, coming up, Division I swimmer Abby Carr joins me after the break to discuss competing against males in college women's sports and why she is taking a stand. That's coming up next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. More Washington Watch straight ahead.
Hi, I'm Joseph Backholm, host of The Outstanding Podcast, inviting you to join me as we discuss the news of the day and the issues that shape us. Christians are commanded to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. With that in mind, The Outstanding Podcast takes you behind the headlines to help you understand what happened and why. If you're looking for something informative and casual that will help you see what God is doing in the world, The Outstanding Podcast is for you. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or find it at WashingtonStand.com. It's not just another podcast, it's outstanding.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Be sure and check it out. Lots of resources there for you and some action items. Remember, our republic was made for participants, not spectators, okay? Among the speakers at today's Capitol Hill event for the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act was Abby Carr, whose success as a swimmer at Washington Christian Academy earned her a spot on a Division I college women's swim team, as well as at the U.S. Olympic trials. As an Ivy League swimmer, she's had the spotlight on her while competing in events alongside Leah Thomas, the male swimmer that the Ivy League and NCAA allowed to swim in women's events. Abby joins me now in studio. Abby, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for speaking out. And I want to start right there and ask you, what drove you to speak out on this issue?
Absolutely. Well, my mind immediately goes to a text I received from my stepdad this morning. And he said, I am so proud of you that you stand for your convictions. You stand in your convictions. And that phrase right there, I know what I believe as a conservative, and I know what I believe as a Christian. And at the time when Leah Thomas was racing when I was a freshman, I did not have that courage to stand for what I knew was true and what I knew was right. And now, as I've gained confidence as both a conservative and a Christian, I know I'm ready to stand for it.
I mean, as an elite swimmer, you grew up training with boys.
Absolutely. Yes, I did.
probably beat them. But what were the differences that you observed between female swimmers and male swimmers?
Where do I start? Well, I started swimming when I was 7, and I've been racing boys as long as I can remember. And up until I was 12, I was beating them. When I was 12, I had I'll never forget this, I had the pool record in the 200 butterfly, and it was faster than the boys' record. And then if you look at the spreadsheets from the meet exactly a year later, it's drastically different because the boys were beginning to grow in a way that I wasn't. And I'll never forget, my coach pulled me out of the water one practice where I was just increasingly frustrated. I mean, he'll tell you I'm the most competitive person out there, right? And he's like, Abby, look, you've been beating these boys your whole life. You're not going to beat them anymore. And I was like, sure. Like, you know, I wasn't thrilled by the implications of that, but it was obvious to me that they were physically changing in a way I wasn't. They were getting taller, their muscle mass was increasing, they were getting bigger. I was not. Now, if you were to look at the times from the 2022 Ivy Championships, my time is 15 seconds slower than the time that was put up by the top male swimmer. That's over an entire length of a pool of a difference. So, yes, those differences were very apparent to me, even at the age of 13.
So is it fair that women would have to compete against men in women's sports?
Absolutely, it is not. And that's not a matter of identity. That's not a matter of personality. That's a simple, blunt reality of biology. I mean, I would love to beat men, but there isn't a world where that's going to happen, unfortunately. And that's not anti-feminist. That's just me speaking the scientific truth.
So what's the point of having women's sports if it's not for women?
You're asking me. It baffles me that this year we celebrated the 50th anniversary of Title IX, and yet it's almost as if we're going back in time. Yeah. And we're having to fight the same battle that so many women have fought before me. And today at the event, at the press conference, Representative Ehart said something to the effect of courage begets courage. And right now I feel more than ever that we have to encourage other female athletes to stand, just stand true in their convictions, like I said earlier, because it won't be a few isolated incidents. It's going to become recruitment spots. It's going to become the very few spots that are reserved for women are going to be taken by male athletes, and we have to fight for women's sports.
I want to go back to where you began with this when I asked you what prompted you to speak out on this, because, I mean, look, you're a freshman. And it's kind of, I would think, intimidating.
When Leah raced, I was a freshman. I had just arrived on the team. Yeah.
And so, I mean, you kind of want to shrink back and just kind of fall in line and not get a lot of attention.
Yeah, and I'll admit, I was apprehensive then.
Right.
I was new to the team. I was new to the Ivy League. I felt like if I needed to make a name for myself, it was going to be in swimming, and I did. But now I understand that this is greater than me. It's greater than the individual. This is about every female athlete. This is about the 7 and 8 year old girls that I coach back home, and the recruitment spots they're going to go for in a few years.
But Abby, it's about even more than just sports, is it not?
Yes, I would say
truth.
So.
It's about truth.
It is, because a society that denies objective reality. I mean, what sort of society is that, right? If we're denying basic reality, if we're denying basic truths, and it'll be the Democrats who say they rely on science and then perpetrate this narrative, which is pitifully ironic, in my opinion.
You're absolutely right. I mean, but today it's women's sports, but what would it be tomorrow if we deny that very basic reality that women and men are different? Not one is of more value than the other,
no.
Just different.
It reminds me of one of my good friends wrestled in high school, and he was a smaller guy, and he wrestled at 113. They didn't put him up against guys who were 200 pounds because it was a blunt distinction between wrestling in 113 and wrestling in 150, 200. Similarly, we can understand that men and women are biologically different, and that is not a bad thing, but we need to have the respective categories. So let's let trans athletes race in their respective categories. Yeah. Let's not put them up against women, because that is not fair.
Abby, just have about 30 seconds left. What would you say to other young women athletes that may find themselves in the same position you were in?
Absolutely. Stand true in your convictions. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. The time is now. The Democrat Party is fighting for a future where there will not be spots left for women's sports, and we have to preserve those if they won't.
Well, Abby, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for the courage to speak out and stand up for truth and what we know to be right.
Thank you.
And before you leave, give me a few tips on how I can improve my time.
Oh, dear. Let's see. Quick tips. Always use your kick and breathe to both sides.
That I have to work on. I don't have that one down yet. Abby, good to see you.
Great to be with you.
You can find out more about Abby Carr when you visit tonyperkins.com. We also invite you to check out our news site, The Washington Stand. You'll find news of the day there, along with cultural commentary brought to you with a distinctly Christian perspective. You can find a link to the Washington Stand there at our website, tonyperkins.com.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access this series at frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. After the recent discovery that Chick-fil-A has hired a diversity, equity, and inclusion vice president, they join a dubious list of companies that embrace the woke culture. Joining Tony on Wednesday to talk about the rise and fall of Chick-fil-A is former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee.
Governor Huckabee, thanks for joining me.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, Tony. And it looks like for the first time in a number of years, people are waking up and they've just had it. You know, there's a certain point, everyone wants to be kind and respectful. Nobody wants to be labeled a bigot or a racist or a homophobe or a transphobe. But most Christians are none of those things. We're just people that want to live our lives and be left alone in order to lead our families and love our families and work in our communities. But over the past few years, the militancy of the LGBTQIA+, however many alphabet letters we have currently now added to this, they've decided that it's unacceptable if people don't just wave a rainbow flag the entire month of June. And people are sick of it because what we're seeing is not just simply people who are homosexual or lesbian who want to be able to live their lives and their relationships. As they said at the beginning, just want to be able to love who we want to love. That's no longer what this is about. This is about forcing people to accept a lifestyle that includes the most irrational things like mutilation of children's bodies and permanently and irreparably doing damage to them, believing that 6-, 7-, 8-year-olds have a right of consent on their bodies when we don't even let them get a tattoo until they're 18. So this is encouraging, and we're seeing it across the scope. And I think what's happened with Target's is just a great example. They've lost 2% of their stock. They're down $13 billion in market value. I mean, that's a gut punch to a big company.
It is. And I mean, we see Bud Light, same thing. They are, you know, they've almost 30% decrease in their market share and their value. But I think it's even more, as you talked about, you know, people, Americans are pretty tolerant, you know, hey, don't bother me. You know, you stay on your side of the fence and, you know, we'll do our barbecue, you do yours and we'll be fine. But this agenda is different. When you look at, as you just talked about, we're talking about mutilating children, their bodies, 8 years old, you know, 9 years old, 10 years old, and doing it oftentimes hiding it from the parents, what's happening in our schools. And so I think this is why we're seeing moms and dads that are finally saying, wait a minute, I thought this was about what you wanted to do, not about what you wanted to do to my children.
Well, and that's an important point to make. This whole notion of pushing drag queen story hour into libraries, and somehow parents are supposed to say, yeah, that's okay, that's normal. Tony, there's something incredibly disgusting about thinking that drag queens ought to be in front of 6- and 7-year-old children at a public library. And I've wondered, and I'm sure you have too, if this is such a delightful artistic experience, how come the drag queens don't want to go and do their story hour at a nursing home with older people? How come it's always to little children? I never see them say, we're going to have a drag queen story hour over at the retirement home.
Because they would beat them in the head with their canes.
And absolutely they would. But what we're seeing is these folks wanting to get in front of little bitty children. And that's grooming.
Yeah.
That's trying to encourage these children to accept as normal something that, quite frankly, is nothing close to normal.
I want to broaden this just a little bit, Governor, because this vortex that's kind of been created by corporate America pursuing this wokeness has sucked in many corporations. 11 years ago, you approached me and some others about promoting a business that was at the time standing firm for marriage as the union of a man and a woman, speaking out back when that whole debate was raging over marriage. And they were being pummeled by the left for simply stating what had been the norm for millennia. But that corporation, you know, Chick-fil-A, what was kind of became a rallying cry for Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day back in, I think it was in July, August of 2012, if I'm not mistaken on my dates. Shortly right. thereafter, we had a shooting here at the Family Research Council where a gunman came in, a LGBTQ activist, 100 rounds, 15 Chick-fil-A sandwiches, was going to kill as many of us as he could and then cram the Chick-fil-A sandwiches in our mouths. You know, it was interesting after that, and that guy was convicted, Floyd Corkins, of domestic terrorism. You know, we never heard from Chick-fil-A. And we've watched them over the last decade move further and further to the left, where it's just recently announced that they now have a diversity, equity, and inclusion vice president. What's happened with them?
Well, Tony, they've bought into the lie. I don't know any other way to say it. I can't be polite about it because there's no way to say, oh, they're just trying to stay out of harm's way. No, they have injected themselves into the diversity, equity, and inclusion model. They've hired someone to be their vice president of DEI. I remember when I talked to you, you were a very big part of helping us organize the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, which was not a boycott. It was a boycott. We just said, let these folks know that you appreciate the moral stand they've taken on marriage. And Dan Cathy, the CEO, got in trouble because he made the comment that marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, it wasn't too long after that, not just beyond the shooting that happened at your headquarters, but then Chick-fil-A started moving closer and closer to the very people that showed them nothing but hate. Mm-hmm. And for that, I don't know what they've achieved from it, but more recently, the company has really decided to go full bore woke, and it's really disturbing. I'll be honest, one of the big regrets of my life was taking such a public stand for them in 2012, helping to turn the tide that was really about to go against them in a very significant way. They were being shut out of cities like New York and Boston and Chicago, told they couldn't come there. After I think they saw the extraordinary support that Chick-fil-A had across the country, even in places like Los Angeles, many of those governments backed off. But Chick-fil-A's response, rather than to say, thank you, Christian community, for standing with us and not abandoning us when we were getting pummeled, was to say, well, we're going to move on now. And the next thing you know, Chick-fil-A abandoned their longstanding relationship with the Salvation Army and the Paul Anderson Christian Ministry for Young Men. And they started linking up with an organization called Covenant House, which is a pro-pride, pro-LGBTQ, whatever else, organization in New York that has a pride float in the big parade every year. And it just made no sense. And so, quite frankly, my attitude about Chick-fil-A is that they're just another company selling chicken. They're not open on Sunday. That's the only distinguishing thing. But not being open on a particular day doesn't erase what you really stand for. And Tony, before I lose this thought, I have to say, I feel deeply for the people who are the owner operators of Chick-fil-A restaurants. Most all of them are deeply devoted believers. This is not what they embrace, but it's what the mothership has embraced. And it's hurting their business. It's hurting their ability to do the life they want to do. And then that's unfortunate. But it doesn't look like Chick-fil-A is going to reverse course. It looks like they're going all in on this left wing and really unbiblical worldview This is Marxism, pure and simple, this whole idea of denigrating people and making modern people somehow feel responsible for the sins of their ancestors, if in fact their ancestors even committed the sin.
Well, Governor, it really shows us the importance of what the Bible teaches us about teaching one generation and the next generation, because this is not the Truett Cathy Chick-fil-A. I mean, you know what? You knew him. I knew him. We knew what he stood for, and that's what the company stood for, and that's what we supported on Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day and what we hoped they would return to. But as you said, it looks like they're moving in the opposite direction just to become another chicken sandwich selling business. They're losing their distinction.
Well, it makes it much easier for me just to go to Popeyes.
Actually, Popeyes chicken sandwiches are pretty good.
They're the best there are, and I'm not making a commercial for them. But, you know, I don't feel any sense of like, well, I ought to go support Chick-fil-A because they're standing with the things I care about. No longer do I need to feel that way because they're not standing for the things that matter to me. And quite frankly, my attitude is, look, if a business doesn't want to cater to Christians, that's fine. I'm not buying their politics or their faith. I'm buying their product. But if you're going to take a stand and say that you're different and you're unique and you don't mind being associated with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but then your actions and your affiliations show that you really kind of are ashamed of the gospel. The truth is, Tony, if we take the stand for Christ, it doesn't mean everybody's going to love us.
Right.
A lot of people are going to hate us, and we'll be obnoxious to many people. And I don't want to be intentionally obnoxious, but I've only got one faith system that's based on one book. And I was excited to hear you talk about the 2-year Bible reading plan, because we have a bunch of biblical ignorance and illiteracy in our culture. Right. And if we just simply get back to the scripture, it gets pretty simple. There are two genders.
Governor, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, and you've made me hungry. I got to go get a hamburger. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Tony.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234.